beginning my age away. Turn with me this morning to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. I don't see a lot of page turning. I know y'all ain't found Ezekiel that fast. LaDon's pulled it up electronically. He's head of the class. Yeah. All y'all with your smartphones and everything. I've had a Bible computer since the 80s, that little Franklin Bible computer. So I update all y'all with all y'all fancy stuff. If you'd add to Ezekiel chapter 33, it said, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took no warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and not blow the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at thy mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require of thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt deliver thy soul. Let us pray together. Merciful God, again we thank you for the blessings you've given us to come into this holy place without fear, threat of government or man, Lord, that we have the freedom in this country. We should be appreciative of it. Lord, we ask you to be in each and every one that's traveling back and forth to give you that traveling protection that they need. We ask that this time an unction of the Holy Spirit, that this thy vessel would be filled with the message you'd have brought at this time, that everything said and done be pleasing to thee. We ask these things in our most holy name. Amen. You know, I've always considered the process of being a minister as being that watchman that was appointed to God. Now, God has called a lot of people out to the ministry. He's reached down and called Michael to come out to the ministry. But what his wife may not realize is that he's actually called both of them. Any minister's wife will agree with this statement that it is harder on the minister's wife than it is on the minister. I don't hear any ladies saying amen to that, so I guess I was wrong, huh? But, you know, the watchman here, the Ezekiel is talking about a sword. Now, I don't know if y'all seen this show that comes on sometime or another, Forged in Fire. It makes a lot of different swords. And what they do with the swords after the guys make them is they do different tests to them to see if they stand up to the test that they're putting them on. Sometimes they're beating on a block of ice. Sometimes they're beating on wood. The thing I like is they'll have a whole pig carcass hanging there, and they'll take this guy's sword and just cut the whole thing in half with one swipe. Yeah? But they test the swords, you see. Now, God has given the watchman a sword here, and in it we call it the Holy Bible. Now, y'all may know or may not know, you'll know after this morning, but I'm a King James man. because I believe that this sword has been tested through the years and has stood all the tests that people have given to it. Now, again, you know, each individual may have a preference or whatever else, but I just want to point out a few things this morning. And I'm not going to give time for everybody to turn the scriptures and everything else, but in particular, reading the Lord's Prayer, the NIV and the Revised Standard Version leaves off, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. They leave that line off. You know? And in another situation, the NIV changes holy, being holy, to your own power or your own piety. Or the Revised Standard Version changes it that way too. In another session, they have changed virgin to a young maiden. Now, there's a big difference between being a young maiden and being a virgin. We ain't going to run too far on that story, but, you know, I really get in trouble. But there's a big difference, you see. So, like I say, I think that this particular sword has has survived the test of time. But each of us is going to wield a sword that sort of fits our personality, our size, or whatever you may look at it like that. Yeah, I'm not saying everybody has to use the King James. I'm just saying that's a sort of preference for me, and I hope most of y'all use it. But we have seen over the years our religion, and I'm using this in a general term, Christian religion, just so watered down that, you know, we can't imagine how it was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever. So much has changed. In particular, Michael's got to face some of the things in his ministry that us older ones never dreamed that would be a situation. Yeah? And I thought of this particular word that's popular today, transgender. Everybody familiar with that one? Well, I got a 2002 dictionary. It's not even in there. Yeah? But this has become one of the major words that we speak of today. I walk in Books a Million in Hattiesburg, and there right there in front to greet me is Caitlin. Y'all know who I'm talking about. It is right there in front of me. Yeah. I go over to the manager, and I say, "Look, that has offended me when I walked in here. I wish you would put that stuff in the back, you know? But no, it's right there in front." And you know, whoever keeps track of babies' names, I don't know what they call a group, anyone, but Caitlin has quit being baby names. They've just gone off the scale, you know, because of all this. But these are the things that Michael's going to have to face down the road. If we think they're bad now, just think of what he's going to be when he's 70 years old or something like that, what he's going to have to deal with. Yeah, and he needs a sword to deal with these things, to face the problems, that he knows what God has said about this. God said that being a homosexual is a sin. Right? Again, King James says he turns them over to a reprobate mind. The NIV and the RSV says they turned over to a base level. Now, there's a big difference between base and, you know, anything else you want to use in there. I mean, you can use look up any dictionary of reprobate you want, and it ain't good, you know. But one of them is that they have a total disregard of God. And I think that fits. See, but we shy away from calling things sin anymore, even in the Methodist Protestant church. Yeah, when was the last time you heard a preacher preach about hell? And that people are going to hell if they're not right with God. You see, we shy away from it, you know. Years ago, that about every other word you heard out of a preacher was hell, you know. Hell and damnation, hellfire and brimstone, and all that. When was the last time any of you preachers preached on hellfire and brimstone, you know? You see, we need the sword to be able to fight the enemy. And, of course, the enemy is the devil. It's not the people. It's not the government. Our enemy is the devil, and we need to fight him every day, every moment of our life. By the way, I just tell you to put your toes under the fuse. I forgot about that. I'm just getting warmed up. All right? Here's something for y'all to deal with that Michael's got to deal with today. Muslims do not worship the same God we worship. Have nothing to do with them except trying to convert them to Christianity. You see? How many times have you seen Christian ministers supposedly invite them to their church? But you never see them invite into their mosque. You know? I always loved this one particular thing, and not making light of 9/11. But after that, this minister was going to show how loving we are to everybody. And he had these two Muslims and these two Jewish guys to show that, you know, we're all encompassing. We love everybody. And this was on TV. And he got up there and he tried to put Muslim, Jew. And the Muslims wouldn't do it. They wanted to stand over here by themselves, you see. They don't worship the same God we do. The Bible says that anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is an antichrist. They deny Jesus is the Son of God. But this is what Michael's got to fight. Down the road, it'll be worse and worse. You know? The Muslims have a grand scheme of taking over the world. And they're doing it by colonization, by having these refugees come in here, taking over Germany and all these countries. And you know, Germany now advises their women not to dress in a fashion that would offend Muslims. You know, what about the Muslims dressing in a way that offends me? You know? But you see, these are the things of the future that you have to deal with. We think now they're bad, but it'll only get worse. Of course, the Bible tells us, basically, that things will just get worse, you know? But if Michael and the rest of us don't have a good sword to defend ourselves by, you know, it's just like in that show of Ford to Fire, they get up there and there's one sword and they go whack and it breaks. Well, that guy put as much into that sword as everybody else did, but he did something wrong somewhere along the line. And the sword broke. See? And if you look at all these other versions of the Bible that are out there, they break. They don't hold to what we believe. You know? Even if it's just changing one word or punctuation. You know? When Jesus told a man on the cross, "Today, thou be with me in paradise." Change the punctuation. And it's Jesus tells him today, comma, we'll be in paradise together. Just change the punctuation on that and it changes the meaning. And all these things just chip away at our foundation belief. I read this book, part of this book, I haven't finished it, and it says the Methodists are slipping. Now, it was written in about 1960. There's no copyright date on the book for some reason, but the bishop was earning $9,000 a year, so you know it's kind of a old book, you know? And I'm thinking, well, this is something. The Methodists are flipping, but in it, he references a book that the Methodists are going crazy. And I believe that if Brother Alton Meigs got up, come up here today, he'd say that about us, that we've gone crazy, you know? That we don't stand up for what we believe in, you know? Now, you know, Michael and his wife, they got 30, 40 years of the ministry, you know? They're going to have ups and downs. They're going to say, well, Brother Hilton, yeah, from the Monticello Pentecostal Church told me one time, he says, I resign every Sunday. You know, and I know a lot of ministers, I feel that sometime too, that, you know, the heck with this, I'm going home, you know. You know, and beat those people out there and beat them and beat them and beat them. And, yeah. What good is church if it doesn't change you? Yeah. Go be a shrine or something. You don't have to change. You know? But church is supposed to change it. We're supposed to preach hard enough to get through that the shield they have put up when they come in and don't want to hear what you have to say. But if we start dance around, what was the saying, tiptoe through the tulips, you know? To get through that, we as ministers have failed, and guess what? The book says their blood will be required of us. If we can't tell a person that sin is sin, or if we don't, that blood or that person who dies in their iniquity is put on us. Now, believe me, I got enough problems with me. You know? There's a little scripture in the Bible, I should have looked it up, but it says, for the priest who lied, there's a greater damnation than hell, a greater portion of hell. Well, we're the priests of the day. And hell would be bad enough without having a better, bigger portion of it, you know. And this is what's going to happen to us if we do not preach the gospel that God has given us. And it says that we are to preach holiness, that a person can be holy, that a person can live a life that is pleasing to God. People do not have to sin every day of their life, you know. And we have so much in the ministry today in general speaking that tell people, oh, it's all right. I was flipping through it. And by the way, let me qualify this. I believe that all religious programming on TV ought to be taken off. Because most of what you see there called religious is not religious. Or it doesn't meet my rule of it. But I'm flipping through the channels, and I don't know who this guy was. And he tells his congregation, turn to the person next to you and tell them that God will take the money away from sinners and give it to you. And they all turn to each other and say, God's going to take the money away from sinners and give it to you. I don't see that here. You know? Another time flipping through the channels, this guy's up there laughing. Well, I don't mind humor, you know. And he's laughing, and he utters a couple of words in some tongue, and he laughs and laughs. Then he offers another couple of words in some kind of tongue and laughs, and goes on like that for the longest. And I'm waiting for the joke myself. And the preacher gets up there and says, Brother so-and-so, we thank you. The Spirit, Holy Spirit gave him the gift of laughter. Find that in the book. I told my wife, I said, you know what he's laughing at? The congregation that's sitting there listening to him. That's who he's laughing at. That's the joke. You see? But this is what they call religious programming on TV. You know? Now, I'd hate to think that somebody would think about our preaching in the same fashion I think about these TV preachers. You know? But look, we're coming to that if we don't stand up for what the Bible tells us to stand up for. You know, I'm preaching preachers basically and Michael directly, but the same thing applies to everybody who considers themselves a Christian. That we have all been called to be the watchmen. We have all been called to sound the alarm and to warn people, you see? And if we don't take that responsibility seriously, then we will be doomed, you know? We're going to stand before a judgment zone. And, I got enough to answer for myself without worrying about somebody else, you know? But I personally believe this, and this is just me. Y'all run with it if you want. But Revelation says the books, plural, will be open. And I believe one of the books that's going to be open are the things we did not do. You know? The opportunities we missed, or the good deeds we could have done, or whatever like that, you know? Now, I treat everybody, I don't care whether black, white, old, young, Muslim, Catholic, don't make no difference. I treat everybody a lot, you know? And when I was working with Bell South, I had one of the men ask me one day, he said, you've never had an EEOC complaint filed against you? I said, no. He says, well, the way you talk about women, it's a wonder, you know? But, you know, I pick on women a lot, but, you know, without women, we wouldn't have a church. Who does all the work? Women. You know? I had a go over at Hickory Grove. I had an old man tell me, he says, they had been coming, he says, you know, preacher, I don't think women ought to be holding these offices like you have them in this church doing. I said, well, that's fine. You become a member, we'll ask you to something. Oh, no, I ain't doing that. You know? See? Without women, without your wife supporting you, you're going to fail. There's no two ways about it. Ask any minister in here about that. Your wife will make or break you. So if you fail, you can blame her. You know? Say, I blame my wife for everything. And nobody believes me, though. When I talk about how mean she is, nobody believes me. You know? But I mean, if Michael, you know, could grow up with his mean mama, and I'm backing up so Paulette can't throw something at me right now. But I've always picked on Paulette for umpteen years, so I couldn't let her go through it without anything. But, you know, without your wife, you're going to fail. There's no two ways about it, you know. Now, there may be times when she tells you to quit, you know, whatever. But my advice is this. You let her be her. You don't say, well, you the pastor's wife or whatever, you have to do this, you know, or whatever. You just let her be yourself, and it'll be a whole lot easier. But we as ministers are called to sound an alarm, and we're not doing it. And again, I'm speaking in general terms here, you know, so y'all don't get too mad at me. But even directly to the Methodist Protestant Church, you know, we don't need some glorious, stand-alone, whatever, fancy sermon or whatever else we need to preach the gospel. A lady told me, she said she couldn't understand her preacher. She said, he sent them an email saying that. Said, I couldn't understand your sermon. He sent the one back saying, he's sorry she's not smart enough to understand his sermon. Well, who's the failure there? The minister. You know, if we're going to preach up here, we may pat ourselves on the back and say, that was a great sermon, and everybody out there saying, huh? You know? If he's not here, yeah, see him, you can pass on and say, I spoke about him, but Reverend Kevin Bawley. When he spoke, he was up here. You know? But that was his educational level, whatever the case may be, you know? But if we're not preaching to the youngest, to the oldest sitting out there, we're not doing our job. You know, we can't say, well, I'm aiming this for such and such, you know? Now, when I was preaching at the bar, I had a man, first Sunday ever came to church. First Sunday him and his wife ever came to church. And I don't remember what I preached on, but afterwards he come up to me and says, I ain't ever coming back here. He says, the whole time you talked about me. I didn't know the man. How could I talk about it? You know? But you see, we don't have people like that. I've had people quit coming to church because I spoke against Santa Claus. You know? My favorite story, I'm coming home from Jackson. I'd listen to NPR because it would get my blood going. I couldn't go to sleep. And they played a song, Letter to Santa Claus. And the background music is Silent Night. And everybody's raving over it and everything else. But in the song, the little boy asked Santa Claus to forgive him because he lied. And they were playing that in churches. And people never realized what it was saying or whatever. Oh, boy, it's, you know, so good, so sweet, whatever, you know. But we got to speak out for that, you know. The Bide Trio years ago wanted to sing Achy Breaky Heart. I wouldn't let them sing it. Well, why not? I said, it don't belong in church, you know. Sometimes you got to take a stand. Sometimes you got to hurt somebody's feelings when you do it. You know, try not to. But we need to be on the lookout for what sin is creeping in to our churches and that we excuse it. You know, I had a man tell me, he said, the preacher got up there and talked all about him because his store sold cigarettes, but he didn't say nothing about the people over here that own the liquor store. You know. They were giving more money than he was giving. There is a church I know of that has first-class seating and second-class seating. Hmm? Michael, you go in church and designate the first, well, it has to be the back pews, the Methodist Protestant, as the first-class pew. And at the second-class people have to sit on the front pew and see how well you get away with that, you see. But there's a church that does that. There's another church I know of where the minister says, don't bring your Bibles, I'll tell you what you need to know. See? This is religion. And we need to be strong in our conviction. We need to know our sword. We can count on our sword for that protection. You see? Because we have faced these things, but what Michael is facing, he ain't even dreamed up yet. We ain't even dreamed up. You know? All this foolishness that's going on in our country that you can't joke about anybody anymore or whatever else, you know? You know, by the way, all these people that were going to move out of the country when Trump was elected, none of them have left. Yeah. They stay in the fight. Yeah. But, you know, we got this president-elect now. You know, I've told many of y'all I was not a Trump person. I was anti-Hillary. And I wanted Obama to succeed as president. I prayed for him. I prayed for President Trump. I want him to succeed. But, you know, part of our responsibility as Christians is to pray for that man. And if you ain't praying for him, you ain't doing all your responsibility to be a Christian and an American. You know, whether you supported him or not, he is now the man that'll make or break the country. But the country is in the situation it's in today because of Christians. Because Christians still supposedly represent 80% of this country. And if that 80% of Christians would get out and vote and stand up and make noise, if all of y'all would go on Books a Million and tell that manager that that display offends me, they will move it. But how many of y'all would walk in that store and say something? You see? I mean, we're not called to be cowards. We're called to be watchmen. Sound the alarm. Speak up. You know, don't be bashful, you know. I mean, I realize, you know, I've never been bashful. I had the thing going with Walmart. My wife said they're going to put my pictures on the door saying, do not admit. But, you know, you got to speak up when you see something wrong, you know. I mean, look, if the ministers don't do their part, then the wives don't do their part. Then the ladies in the church don't do their part. Then for sure the men in the church are not going to do their part. And then by the time you get to the end of it, nobody is doing their part. You see, we like to say, oh, Michael's called to the ministry. Okay, let's put it all on him. You know, now we got a nice young preacher in the conference. Let's elect them to every committee we got, you know, and burn them out fast, you know. But, you know, it's not just Michael. It's all of us. We have to face this for the remaining years that we have. Yeah? As I say, some of this stuff we're facing today, Alton Meggs never heard of. And some of these other ministers that's going on before us, you know? Brother Dawson and so forth, you know? All that has gone on before us. You know, the whole list of them down in the basement down there, whatever you call it, that have gone on. Never even dreamt about this kind of stuff. But we're facing it. And if we don't have a sword that's going to stand up and be, I want to say usable, I don't know if that's a word, usable, but that we can put faith in, confidence in, trust in, if we don't have a sword like that, you know, if every time you open your Bible and you question that particular scripture or something, you got the wrong sword. But if we don't have a sword that we can count on, that we know has stood the test of time all the years that it's been around, then we will fail. Now, we need to know what we are using to defend ourselves with. And check your Bible. Don't take my word for it alone. Look at the Bibles. Compare them. See where one falls from the other. A lot of them are just paraphrase things. The Living Bible is just a paraphrase Bible, you know? One particular scripture in it, it says in King James, I can't remember the exact scripture, but in King James it said the man came up righteous. In the Living Bible it says he came upright. You know, there's no comparison, see? So again, know what you have, you see, and that you can count on it. And it has stood the test of time and will not fail. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Merciful God, again, we thank you for the blessings you've given us, the freedom to come and worship as you've laid upon our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for each and every one that's come this morning. Those who've come to be with Michael for his ordination, Lord, we ask you to bless them that they would know it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, we ask you to guide and direct us as we continue to work and worship in your name. We ask these things in the most holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Get our ordination committee to come forward.